Good morning. I believe this morning the Spirit is calling. And I believe that the Lord is calling with love and with care. And He has a desire for each and every one of us on a very personal basis. It's good to be in Prague again today. And I believe that the Lord would have us all be encouraged and challenged with the hope of the gospel. The prophet Jeremiah said that it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. And that's my testimony this morning. That had it not been for the mercy of God, if it were not for the mercy of God that continues every day, we would be lost today. But because of Jesus, we're able to be here, and we are able to have hope. I've been looking forward to being with you, and my prayer is this week that the presence of the Lord would visit us in a mighty way. That the Holy Spirit would deal with us on an individual basis. I want to say this. The enemy is in the business of getting in the way of the word of the Lord. The enemy is in the business to distract, to cause us to take our minds to another place. But I am comforted by the verse that said that this battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's, and that He will give the enemy into your hands. I'm encouraged with that today, so let's purpose in our hearts this morning and throughout the course of this week, let us purpose in our hearts to be active participants in going to battle against the enemy and letting the Lord speak to our hearts and have His way in our midst and in our individual lives. The message that I have this morning that I'd like to share with you, maybe we'll write it on the board here. It is that it is your hour. And I'd like to make it a little bit more specific than that. It doesn't say it's the hour. The message is not that it's the hour for somebody. But the message is that it's your hour. And further, to personalize it and bring it home, don't underestimate the hour. Don't underestimate the hour. I'd like to start this morning in the third chapter of Acts. And we'll read starting at the first verse. It said, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. And who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms." He was looking for some money that he could then take and spend on what he believed would help him in the very best way. "And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold, I don't have any silver and gold. But such as I have, I give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." Well, on this day of the Lord, there were two men with a cause There were two men with a purpose to do the will of God. And they imparted through the power of Jesus Christ a life-changing, life-altering blessing upon a lame man that was in trouble and that was calling for help. But I want to pay particular attention to this, that the opportunity was created and the impactful gift was given as a result of their purpose and their cause, simply to pray and worship the Lord at this ninth hour in the present. I don't think they got up in the morning and said, you know, I wonder what wonderful, great things we could do today, John. I think the Lord has given us power, and I think we're going to go out today and we are going to find the most dramatic thing to do that is going to put our name in the book of life. What do you think? And they went out looking for the most dramatic thing that they could give their hands to do. Is that what happened? No, I don't think that's what happened. But what we find here is that they got up, and at the ninth hour, that was the time that was present. That is now. That's the hour that we're living in. At the ninth hour, which was the present time, they did what they knew to do that was right. Nothing more and nothing less. That's what they purposed. That was their cause at the ninth hour. That was their purpose at the ninth hour. That was their purpose at the present time, was to go and do what they knew to do was right. I thought about the account of David when he was a shepherd boy. In 1 Samuel, it's in the 17th chapter, and we won't turn there for the sake of time. But when David came and he was bringing food to his brothers, and he saw that the children of Israel, he saw that they were being defied, and he saw that they were being deprived of the victory and peace by a seemingly larger than life giant. And yet David looked at all of that in the midst of bringing food to his brothers, and he looked at that, and he looked at the fear, and he looked at the people drawing back, and he said, "Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause of something greater than ourselves? Is there not a purpose that goes beyond the temporal? Is there not a cause that would cause us to look beyond ourselves and stand up against wrong? Be willing to give our lives to something that is greater than we are. Is there not a cause, regardless of all of the voices and the clamor and the influences that are all around us that are calling us and beckoning us and influencing us and telling us what is right and what is wrong and what's of value and what we should do and what we shouldn't do. All the voices. Is there not a cause that is greater than that? Is there not a cause that is greater than ourselves? Is there not a purpose that goes beyond the temporal, that extends to the eternal? The answer this morning is an absolute resounding yes. There is a cause that the Most High God is calling every single one of us that is here today. He is calling all of us to be servants of the Most High God, dependable servants of the Lord. He is calling us to be a light in a dark world where people are in trouble. The Lord is calling us to a cause where we look out and say, Lord, would you live in me? Would you work through me? Would you help me, Lord, to be faithful in the place that you have put me today at this hour? Perhaps it's people that are looking on our lives that are looking for some security and stability and looking for something that means something that's beyond all of the things that pass away. Maybe it's somebody that is hurting, somebody that is without hope, somebody that doesn't have the Lord in their lives. Jesus Christ is calling every single one of us to be a light in this dark world. I will indeed say, we have a cause this morning. You have a cause. You are important. No one can take your place. regardless of what your age is, regardless of what you believe you can or can't do, the Lord has a special place for you. David was willing to stand and be counted for God. He was willing to be a shepherd of just a few sheep. While his brothers were out fighting a battle, when it looked like all the action was happening somewhere else, David was willing to be a shepherd of just a few sheep. David was willing to be content with a sling. Perhaps he had visions of a spear and a sword and a shield and armor and a helmet and thought about what all of his brothers were doing. We can do that sometimes too. But he said, Lord, you gave me this sling and I'm satisfied with the sling. I'm going to perfect the sling. Lord, would you work through me? Lord, you've given me just a few sheep on the side of this hill. And David was willing to be faithful in those small things. And then one day David was called to be a courier of food to some brothers that were fighting a mighty battle. So he had to come bringing the cheese and bread and I don't know what all else he had with him. But he was willing to do the simple things that were given into his hand at that hour, at that day. And when it was time, he was also willing to stand against wrong. He was willing to hasten, not delay, not put off. And the scripture said that he hastened and ran, not only towards Goliath, but towards the whole army that was standing out there. That's what the scripture said. He ran towards the army and the giant. He hastened to do the will of the Lord. And because of that, in the end, David stood victorious with a whole lot of other people that also stood victorious because David was willing to recognize, it's my hour. It's my hour to carry the food. It's my hour to work with the sling. It's my hour to feed the sheep and to talk to Jesus when everybody else is out doing what seems like grand things for the Lord. My time is here with the sheep. And he was willing to do it with faithfulness. That was his hour. And it was important. And the day came when the Lord said, David, I'd like you to take the sling. I'd like you to take the faith that you have received in me. When you're out watching the sheep and slinging the stones, and you can go defeat that giant in the name of the Lord. And that is exactly what David did. He was willing to stand and be counted for the Lord. I don't want to disappoint the Lord. It's your hour. It's my hour. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. We are reminded of that often, aren't we? Life is uncertain. We're not given any guarantees in life. What God has given us is now. It's the present. It's the hour that He's given to us to be faithful in whatever small things He's put before us to be faithful in. Well, that's what these two men were doing that we just read about. It was the ninth hour. It was the hour of prayer, and we find Peter and John just doing what they knew to be right at the time. It's time to go pray. It's time to be faithful. It's time to go in the presence of the Lord. And perhaps it didn't seem like a very grand thing at the time. The ninth hour is about 3:00 in the afternoon. There were other people that did the same thing, but they did it because they knew that it was right. Just like David knew it was right to be responsible with the sheep and the sling and the food. It's like, you know what? It's time to go to service. It's time to go to worship the Lord. It's time to set aside the other things of life and do the simple thing and go worship at this hour of prayer, as simple and as non-dramatic as perhaps it may have seemed. But on this day, that they did not know was going to happen. They passed a man who was in need, just as the multitudes are in need and look for help. Just as the multitudes stand on the street corners, figuratively, looking for help, this man was in need, expecting and wanting something material to satisfy what he thought that his need was. And today, the multitudes around us are lame. And they're hurting. And they need help. Yes, they might have a smile on their face. They might have the riches of this world. They might have much authority and influence over a lot of people. But there are multitudes that have a void in their heart that they have not yet been able to fill. This man needed something more than what Peter and John could give him. And he looked for those things that so many people today look for. You know, if I just had more riches, if my reputation was just better, if I had the talent of so-and-so, if I was able to have my needs just satisfied along with my senses on demand, then maybe things would be okay. And yet they continue on with a great void in their life, telling themselves if they could just get a hold of what they don't have, perhaps things would be okay. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked alms. In the fifth verse, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. This man saw potential opportunity in Peter and John. Well, maybe I can get some alms. Maybe they have silver and gold to give. But it wasn't what they had, and it's most often not what we have to give to other people too. But they had something. They had Jesus, and they had a cause. And what a life-changing it made on this man that day. His life was altered because they were faithful in that day and in that hour while simply doing just what they knew to do was right. Go to the temple, worship the Lord, pay some attention to the lame man that was on the side of the road. Why is it that we so often complicate our cause and our purpose? Don't you think we do that sometimes? I feel like that we allow the world too often. We allow the world to define for us what is of value and what is important. There are so many voices and so much influence, so many things that draw on us. Billions spent on the marketing, telling us what it is we need and what it is that is important in life. Why do we let the world define for us what it is that is important? We put so much value on riches. We put so much value on beauty. Everything's beautiful. I know very little about, what is it called, Pinterest? I have nothing against Pinterest, but I heard someone say one time, what do we try to live in, a Pinterest world where everything's beautiful, everything's perfect? We try to live our lives and place value on how much talent do they have? Are they able to speak in ways that reach the multitudes and move hearts and get the attention? How much authority do they have? How many people do they know? What does it look like in the eyes of other people? What is it doing for me? Have it your way. And the world is telling us that. Why do we let the world define for us what is most important in life? And then we complicate and confuse the cause that the Lord has for you. It's our hour. It's your hour. The Lord is calling us to something that goes beyond all of these things. And then when we don't see that in ourselves, we don't see ourselves with the talent that we see so-and-so have, and we don't have the riches, and we don't have the beautiful this, that, and the other, and we stumble over our words, and it just seems like we're struggling in life to come up to par, and then we read about the parable when the Lord gave to one person one talent and to another one two and to another one five. And we're sitting there and we listen to that. We think, yep, he got me on there. I'm one of those one and two talent creations. I'm probably a one talent creation. That's all I have. I'm just a one talent person. And so and so over there, well, they're probably just a two. They're probably not a five. They look like they're two. But then there's these five talent people out there. Well, I'm not a five talent person. And we start getting down on what God has given to us. We start diminishing the value of what God created for us and put in our hands. David could have said, I'm just a one talent warrior. I just got a sling. That's all I have. Those men out there, they've got swords and spears and shields and armor and all this stuff. And they're big and they're large and they're loud and people fear them. And I just got a sling made out of, I don't know what they made the slings out of back then. I had a slingshot one time made out of an apple tree branch and an old inner tube. And it didn't work very well. And I felt like about a half talent person. When it came time to sling the rock, it didn't work real well. And you know that we can do the same thing in life. All I have is an apple tree branch and an old inner tube that's worn out that has no elastic in it anymore. And it doesn't sling rocks very well. All I can do is dream with it. And we look at our lives. And we begin to devalue not what I created, but God created. And we start thinking it's everybody else's hour. It's everybody else's place to reach the multitudes and make meaningful change in people's lives. I think sometimes we think that for our effectiveness to be meaningful, that it has to reach far and wide. Hear this exhortation this morning. Do what's within your reach. Just do what's within your reach. Let the Lord do the far out part. Let Him do the far reaching part. That's what He wants to do. That's what He's in the business of doing, is taking what He's given us and doing the far reach part. So many say, I've heard this so many times, people say, well, I don't know what my purpose is. I just don't know what God's purpose is for me in life. And I think that's a real feeling. I think that's something that we all wonder sometimes. We look at our weaknesses and we look at the places we failed and we look out and about and we see others that seem like they have so much going for them. They're one of those five talent people. I'm just a one talent person. And we look around and we just start to crunch down and try to kind of get out of sight because we don't even know if we have a place at the table. And so then we wonder, do I have a cause? Do I have a purpose? Do I mean anything? People preach, well, it's your hour. Well, it's my hour for what? What is my hour? And this morning, in the fear of the Lord, your hour and your cause is more powerful and more simple and within your hands to accomplish than we must always realize. It's to do simply what you know to do is right. That's our cause. Be faithful in the simple things. Be faithful in the things that you've been taught and that's been revealed to you that's right. Whether you think that it's great or small, or deep or shallow, or something of insignificance or measurable, regardless of how you view it, resist looking around and letting the world define for you the value of your cause. We are created by somebody that's far higher than we are. And he can do far more with an apple tree branch and an old worn out inner tube and a lopsided rock than man was ever able to do with a sword and a spear and heavy artillery. And the Lord wants to do that with your life today. Be faithful in the things that are simple. Be faithful in the things that you understand. It's right to go to the service of the Lord. Come to service. It's right to show kindness and love to other people. Why is it that we always look far for our cause? The Lord's asking us to look near. And now abideth faith and hope and charity. But what was the greatest? Wasn't it charity? Of all of those, he said the greatest of these is charity. Be faithful in showing love and care and concern to a lost and hurting world, to people that may be looking for a listening ear that's genuine, to people that may just need an act of kindness on a very difficult day, to be able to see Jesus. Can't we all purpose to do that? That's not complicated. That's our cause that we've been given in this hour. Dig into the Word of the Lord. Can't we do that? Can't we be fortified by the Word of the Lord and acquaint ourselves with it? Can't we ask the Holy Spirit to live in our lives and to lead and guide us and take the simple things that we have and give the increase? Do you know that that's what the Lord intended to do from the very beginning? It was never about me. And it's not about you. It's about having a cause that goes greater than beyond ourselves. It's about having a purpose that is more than just what I want in this life. It's about having faith in the one that can give power to the weak. That's our cause today. That's our purpose, to do the things that we just know to do. And not let the enemy devalue who we are and who God has made us. I don't want to let the things that I don't understand to derail me from the things that God has given me understanding in. Because, folks, for us today, it's our ninth hour. This is our hour. This is our time to do the Lord's will as He has revealed it unto us. Not waiting and looking for some big, grand thing to drop into our lap somewhere down the road, but today, that I would be faithful to provide the Lord opportunity to give the increase to what I'm willing to give, however small I believe that it is. Just as Peter and John did that day, Lord, we know that it's right to go to the house of the Lord. That's what we'll do. We'll go. We're not looking for anything more grand than that. We're going to go to the house of the Lord. We know to do that. We're going to be faithful in that. It's the ninth hour. It's time. We better get up. Let's go. And on their way, they saw a man that was in need and hurting. And they knew that it was the right thing to be kind and show love. And they gave the Lord opportunity to give the increase in doing the things that they understood to do, just as David did with the sheep that he had, feeling like, I'm not as big and grand. I'm not accomplishing as much as all of these men that are out fighting the battle on the battlefield. But the Lord was working a work in him that no one else understood was taking place. And the Lord was working with that sling. And the Lord was in taking food to serve somebody else that might look down upon him when he got there. And they did. And yet he was willing to be faithful in the small things and gave the Lord opportunity to give increase in these other things. I think about the boy with the loaves and the fishes. That's how I feel today. You want to know how I feel? I feel like I have some loaves and fishes. This is about all I have. I look at the multitudes. I look at the congregation here this morning. And all I have is loaves and fishes. And often we look at ourselves and what we have to offer. And we look at the great need that is around us. And then we look in our basket again. All I've got, loaves and fishes, inadequate, isn't going to work. But that boy that day said, here's what I have. I've got some loaves and fishes. Lord, you can have it. And we're still talking about it today. They did what it was theirs to do in their hour. In their ninth hour, they were faithful. And I want to tell you this morning that the Lord can give the increase in the one and the two talents, just like He can with the five. In fact, the Lord can give the increase with the one talent that surpasses all of the grand things that we believe we see with our eyes and understand with our minds, that the world tells us is meaningful. The Lord says, be faithful in the little things. Be faithful in the simple things. And I'll give you the increase. I want to close with the 41st chapter of Isaiah in the 9th verse. Thou art my servant. Can I personalize a little bit this morning? You are my servant. I have chosen you. And I have not cast you aside. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, because I am your God. Yea, I'll help you. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Our hour is today. Let's not underestimate it. This morning, let's be willing to arise with courage and expectation. Because the Lord has given us a cause that has not been devalued. Let us not underestimate our cause. Let us not underestimate what God wants to do through your life. And let's commit to Him to give the increase. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.